Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, traders and investors, and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Thinkorswim and TD Ameritrade. I'm Spencer Israel, as always, here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick, and then today at 8:35, Nick Shaheen, as he joins us every Tuesday at that time. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads on MarketFi. We're going to discuss what we got today going on. We got Amazon opening some grocery stores. That can't be good news for Kroger. We got some media headlines to discuss. Netflix, New York Times, CBS. A couple big ratings changes to note. And also, just the fact that the banks continue to drive this market is, I feel like, going to be the big theme of the week. Joel, how are we doing on the S&Ps today?
We are in the green by 2 points. We went off the board yesterday at 04 and a quarter, trading at 06 and a quarter. Tight little range overnight. Looks like we got the all-time high, 22.1375 on the radar. Crude was weak after the cash close. That's after 2:30, dipped under $51. Made a little bit of a comeback at the close, but crude maybe taking a little bit of a breather from this major rally it's had off OPEC. And gold and silver just cannot rally. Gold trading down here, $1.80. Do have some consolidation here, but if you're going consolidation with the trend, it's a consolidation to go lower. Dennis, how you doing on this kind of cold and dark Tuesday morning in the Motor City?
Winter is here, Joel. Winter is here. I had my car oil sprayed there yesterday, getting prepared for the snow. When is the snow supposed to come?
This weekend, we're supposed to get a little bit. Did you get some snow tires for the Pacifica?
No snow tires. It's got the all-season tires on the Pacifica there. But I got my pickup, so the pickup's the one that handles the majority of the winter weather there, so it goes through it well with the four-wheel drive. But we're never too bad in the Detroit Motor City area, so usually we get three or four pretty good storms a year. But overall, this is still the sunny south when you think about Canada as a whole.
The tundra. And I got the lawn.
Yeah, I migrate down here for the summer or for the winter.
I got the lawn furniture in over the weekend with Lisa's assistance. So let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. But
ready to rock and roll. And we're ready to rock and roll here too, Joel. Big move in the S&Ps. Well, not so much. We're up a couple points on the S&Ps, but individual movers, you cannot stop those banks. They continue to run, and they are being pushed this morning again by the European banks. Deutsche Bank trading up 3% here in the pre-market. We've got Banco Santander trading up. We've got Credit Suisse trading up. We've got UBS trading up. We've got Barclays trading up. I've got positions. I've got some spreads and pairs in a few of these stocks here this morning. So I'm short some, long some, but overall I'm kind of net neutral. The banks, though, just been incredible here for a long time.
And was it the Italian referendum, getting rid of Renzi? That was supposed to be bad for the banks, right?
There's nothing bad for the
Nothing's
banks.
Nothing's bad.
All good news. They find the good news in everything. Even if interest rates don't go up, they'll find a reason. No, they're going up, though. So.
we can look at Bank of America. Let's just talk about that real quick. Now that I'm down to just a handful of 21 calls, it's ready to bust through 22. Dennis,
wow.
Some size there, right, at 22?
I couldn't resist this morning, full disclosure, just day trade, quick trade, shorted $21.99. I couldn't resist off the big hold number. I'm looking at the book, and it's littered with offers from $21.90 to $22. That might hold the print down below $22. It probably takes it out. Who knows? I already traded 150,000 shares, but I've tried every hold number all the way up, so I might as well try this one, too. I'm up 3 cents. Whoop-de-doo-da-day. I could buy myself your lunch.
which you would have gotten one off your plate yesterday if you had taken that bet.
Oh, I got it. Should have took you on that bet.
Yeah. But just one word of caution here in the Bank of America, Dennis. You know how we talk about when stocks get a running start into a whole number?
Yeah.
Like if Bank of America is up 80 cents and it's the end of the day and there's a half a million at 22, it's a little different scenario than when it's closed at 84, trading, and it doesn't have as much to go, but we'll see. We'll see what that
I think it takes out 22 today as well. I just hope it doesn't take it out on the open. So, and obviously, you know, these banks, you know, are volatile. They move here. So sometimes the big hole numbers are good for one short. The second time up there, they seem to take it out. The third time, they almost always take it out. So I always say third time is a charm when you're challenging those big hole numbers there. This was, you know, kind of the second time, though, because we did challenge it 3 days ago, got up to 21.94. Obviously, in the pre-market, we've been up here to 21.99. So I'm looking here just trying it one time off the 22.
All right. Ethan G. says, you should have taken that bet yesterday. He told you to take it. You should have listened to him.
Ethan, I should listen to you.
Then you'd only be down to two launches. You'd only be down to two instead of three.
Two? I paid you off one. You owe one lunch, and I'm going to come and get you next week. So for the last lunch. And you still owe me two steak dinners. I need to collect up a big one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll have to get some Omaha steaks and have you over and cook.
I want to roost Chris again.
All right. Whatever you want. You earn them.
All right. Individual stock news. We did have some earnings reports. We're going to jump into those in about 5 minutes. We had AutoZone, Toll Brothers, Bob Evans, Bank of Montreal, Canadian Bank, and the Michaels, the scrapbook store, all reported earnings here this morning. But want to jump to a couple of stories from your big guns here this morning. Last night getting reported, Amazon looks to be going to jump into the grocery store market. Spencer, give us the details. This was breaking after the bell. This has been one of the worst kept secrets, though, because we've talked about this on the show multiple times. What did they say officially there last night, Amazon?
Oh, not a whole lot of details here, just that they could open more than 2,000 grocery stores is what.
That's a lot of stores.
That's what they're saying. That is a lot of stores, yeah.
Considering, you know, they don't really have any physical stores. You know, I guess they have a few physical stores, but they don't have very much physical presence. It's a big step for Amazon. I mean, they're taking it from the cyber world into the real world here.
For context,
what are your thoughts on this?
Well, real quick, for context, quick Google search says Kroger has about 2,800, a little under 2,800 stores.
Are you reading my mind? Because I just Googled that.
Kroger has 2,800 stores?
Yeah, 20.
And Amazon's going to open 2,000?
Yikes.
They're going to come into all their – I don't know. And we've been talking about why Kroger has been weak, you know, and a lot of the other ones. Here's your reason. I mean, this is scary. If I'm a Kroger shareholder, I'm thinking that Amazon, I don't want to be going head-to-head with them, and it sounds like they're going to go head-to-head with them. So I don't know. Kroger was trading down a little bit on this news last night. Not down much because I think, you know, this was, you know, one of the worst-kept secrets like we talked about. But 2,000 stores, did they give a timeline or anything? Or are they just, you know, are saying, just giving, you know, some preliminary numbers for
it? Not that I've seen yet, but I will look.
I mean, such a low-margin business. I mean, oh, yikes. I mean, it's like, you know, two things, you know, my dad told me never do. Open a bar or, you know, start a grocery store. I mean, there's this low-margin it's just low-margin business, but I guess if they're buying on bulk there, I don't know, boy. I'd like to be the real estate.
They operate at low margins, though. They know how to work that. They got purchasing power. I just think regardless of how successful Amazon is in the grocery store business, got to be short-term bad news for Kroger. That's just – it sounds scary to me if I'm a Kroger shareholder. But who knows? This market's funny.
I'm going to downgrade Myers here a little bit even though it's not publicly traded. We've been going with – we've been
going to go try to find it privately to short it?
Well, no. I've been telling – we've been doing Shipt on the weekends. You know, you do the list and then they deliver it. Well, Lisa keeps changing the list, you know, until there's like a deadline. So they missed a bunch of stuff. So I'm downgrading.
No.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
it's nice they deliver it, but when you know they don't, you know, don't deliver all the stuff, it's not that good. But we'll see if Amazon's going to get into that too. The landscape of grocery stores changing, and then also just a comment on Whole Foods. She went in there over the weekend. She said she walked right out. There wasn't one thing that she could buy. Super, super expensive, and the prepared stuff was expensive too. I mean, this has got to be bad news for Whole Foods as well.
You know what? I just don't understand. I go in those Whole Foods. You got to be a health nut because I go in there and, okay, well, I can see the fruits and vegetables and stuff. But when you go up those middle aisles, there's like 10 or 12 of them. I don't even know what any of that stuff is. I mean, it's none of your basic stuff. It's all your health food stuff. So somebody like me is just lost at that store. So that's, you know, you got to be right into healthy foods. And that's their target market. So I don't know, though. I don't think this is good for any grocery store. Even Walmart, you got to think a little bit here. Like, they've got the superstores there. I wouldn't want to be going head-to-head here with Amazon. So it is Walmart. They're huge, too, obviously. And they're, you know, your biggest, you know, retailer, you know, physical retailer there in the world. So if anybody can go head-to-head with Amazon, it is Walmart there. But Walmart's trading up here in the pre-market, which is surprising to me.
All right. Let's move on here to some of the other movers.
Apple is your other mover here today. And just looking at a tweet here from Mark Flo Chatter, who's Mark Lehman. And he's a great follow, actually. I follow him on Twitter, and he's always got some pretty good stuff. He's just saying there's a very credible Chinese paper indicating no slowdown of Apple iPhone sales. And he had a link. I clicked the link. It's in Chinese, though. So I'm trusting that Mark Lehman has interpreted this Chinese paper here correctly. He's saying no slowdown, though, in Apple iPhone sales. And obviously, everybody's been concerned about that. So I think Apple's getting a little bit of a lift off there. There's a million articles for Apple every day, but there's been a concern, obviously, that iPhone sales have been slowing. So if there is that paper out there, it probably is helping the stock this morning.
You Apple traders, keep an eye on the 110 area. We're trading up at the pre-market, up $1.08 at 110.19. But if you go to your daily charts here, you've had a couple back. Is there two or three highs here? Let me pull it up here. Actually, two highs, just a little old double top, 110.03, 110.09. See, we could hold 110 there. After that, the 110 handle looks pretty open. Your three-day high comes in at 110.94.
So I don't know what to say about Apple. Obviously, it's not liked by the market. It hasn't been loved forever. It has the multiple. You know, that's very, you know, we're sitting at 10 or 11 times, and the market's trading up at 20 times, so it's trading with half the multiple here. But it just doesn't get the love. And, you know, we've said it before. They need to come out with something new. Everybody values it as a cash cow. It's so dependent on the iPhone. I still think they're going to cook something up, no pun intended. I think, you know, long term, I'm still happy that I own Apple in my long term portfolio. But short term, the relative strength is not good here. We get a little lift here this morning, but I don't know. Short term, I just don't like it. Long term, I still love it, if that makes any sense.
No, I mean, the chart looks okay. I mean, you know, we've sold off, but it seems like, you know, you really can't do much damage. I see we slipped under 105 a few days ago, but, you know, 110 for me, you know, short term, holding 110, this thing looks good to go north, also with the S&P's green.
Let's jump over to the earnings parade here. Bob Evans, down on the farm, Joel, reported earnings there last night. Spencer's got the details.
BOBE, Q2 adjusted EPS, 56 cents versus 45 cents. Sales of $316 million versus $318.06 was the estimate, so a little bit of a miss there on the sales. They did raise their fiscal year 17 adjusted EPS, however, from $2.05 to $2.20. That was the original, then it is now $2.15 to $2.30, and the estimate was back at $2.11. So a good guidance there for fiscal year adjusted EPS. They do see comps for fiscal year 17 in the low single digit to flat range.
The stock has just been on a monster move, really. Since October, we're down to $37. We now trade over $50 last night. So now you start thinking about going back to the 2015 highs where we topped out at 52 multiple times here. There is an offer in this morning around 51.99. Pre-market high or after-hours high, it looks like it was $50 right on the kisser, right, Joel?
Yeah, $50 right there, 50.05. That was your August, big number. Yeah, 2015 high. Going above that, you got a double top from June and July at 52. So 50 to 52, big run up, though. I mean, you think anyone's going to ring the cash register on this kind of report? I mean, this thing has been straight up, bottomed. Actually, if you go back to July, this thing was at 35.63. You filled the gap nicely, I believe, from an earnings gap. I mean, you know, 50, probably a better place to exit along here. As far as trying to short, you don't have much cover up to 52. But, Dennis, I don't think it sees 52 today, and you probably don't either.
No. 50 is going to be your first bogey. Takes that out. It's a possibility, but there's no lunch bet here for me on Bob Evans seeing 52.
Has anybody in the chat been to Bob Evans lately? Because I don't know.
I haven't been there in a long time. My parents go there a lot. When I was a kid, I used to go there a lot because my parents go there. So they're big Bob Evans fans. But
they have them in Canada?
No, my parents are in the States. All when you live in Windsor, in Leamington, Windsor area, you're always shopping in the States.
Can
so
you come over? Your parents came over here to go to Bob Evans?
They come over there to do their shopping, and they come over. My parents wake up at like 4 in the morning, so they got to get there, you know, their Bob Evans at 5:30, 6 in the morning, and eat their grits or their whatever else they eat there.
All right.
I don't know. The one thing Bob Evans, it's good food, but the health component of it I don't think is there. Toll Brothers, TOL, housing builder, up here this morning, trading up 2.4%. It ran up yesterday ahead of the report. Spencer, what are the numbers?
67 cents versus 99 cents. Revenues of 1.855 billion versus 1.79. So beat, revenue beat and an EPS miss.
I don't know. $32 is really where he topped out back in August. I don't know if it's got the gas to get up there or not. Last time I feel like this thing had a pretty good report, it got hit. So, and I'm just going off my memory from that. I can see, you know, that it got hit back in September, but I feel like it was originally trading up on that report and then turned around and came down. So a little bit of caution to the person who's chasing it up on this report.
Toll Brothers here, trading it into pre-market. Pre-market high stands at 31.20. Back under 31. I want to see what happens at 30.80 here, 30.60 to 30.80. A couple tops back there at the end of November, one yesterday. Needs to get down to 30.61 to fill the gap here. But keeping an eye, the seat holds 30.80, good to go north.
Then also AutoZone reported earnings last night. It's trading up 8 points here in the pre-market action this morning. AZebraO, how are the numbers, Mr. Spencer?
AZO was Q1 EPS $9.36 versus a $9.31 estimate. Revenues of $2.46 billion versus $2.49 was the estimate there. So a Q1 EPS beat and a Q1 revenue miss, but not by a whole lot.
Joel, technical levels?
Technical levels on a $700-$800 stock here. Pre-market high comes in at 790. You do have a couple highs in that area, but I'd only call that minor resistance. I'm looking at your four-day highs, a potential target, 791 to 51. After that, your five-day high way up at 788.84. So if you're into trading $700-$800 stocks, here's the flavor of the day.
Scrapbook store Michaels down 10% almost in the pre-market. They're down 9.5% to be precise. Trade at 21.52. Spencer, what did Michaels have to say?
I don't remember the ticker on Michaels. That's how little I paid attention.
M-I-K.
That's how little I paid attention to Michaels. Because I don't remember the ticker. 40 cents versus 43 cents. Revenues of $1.23 billion versus $1.26 billion. So, miss on the EPS, miss on the revenues, but not by much on the other side. They do see Q4 EPS in 94 cents to 98 cents, just below the 99 cent estimate.
Does anybody scrapbook anymore?
I don't know. That's what I've been wondering with the stock forever. And the stock's actually held up considering that I don't know who scrapbooks anymore. Well, I guess when you go out to the monthlies, it really hasn't held up that well. This stock is at 32, 33 bucks. It's 24. Not bad. But I don't know what the appeal is. I don't get it, but I'm not a scrapbooker, so.
I'm so glad the one by us closed because Lisa used to ask me to, you know, go there and get something, and it would just be like, you know, get the so-and-so marker, and I go there, and there'd be like 300 different black markers. And I'd have
get the
to,
blue marker. There's 300 different shades of blue.
Yeah, they're all like 98 cents. This is a bad report here for the issue. Just traded down to 21.20, danger zone here for Michaels. You did have a low at 21.72 and a 21.80 level. That was an old triple bottom, but we're trading below there now, so needs to get above 21.80. And you got a long ways to fill the gap from yesterday. You need to get all the way up to 23.41. But the last few times this was under 22, it found some buyers. Trading down 270. We'll see if that happens today.
Valentina calls it the fake flower store. That's a good
name. They have a lot of those flake. I know exactly what they're talking about.
You don't have to water them. That's one good thing about fake flowers. I don't know if that's an edge or not in the retail world, though. We better move on. We don't know anything about this, Michaels. But Bank of Montreal, BMO, also reported earnings. Big Canadian bank there. My wife used to work there, actually. 69.55. is where it's trading at in the pre-market here, up 2 points there. Bank of Montreal, these Canadian banks just never sold off. These things are right, you know, kicking around near all-time highs.
Yep.
They've been monsters. And considering, you know, like we thought, you know, the oil crisis beginning of the year where the banks were selling off, I guess that was the buy opportunity because a lot of people were concerned about bad oil loans with the Canadian banks, and that didn't really materialize. And these stocks have just come back. hard here. They're looking great towards the end of the year, and here's the stock up another 2 points.
Yeah, 69.55. That is your last print. We haven't been up in this area for a long time, Dennis. We were up at 70.87. That was your January of 2015 high. I'm sure maybe you can find some other daily numbers in there. 70 might be a psychological level, but boy, oh boy, these things have just been on a roll. And is it Canadian dollar? That's probably been coming back too, right? Because of the oil?
Little bit, but not much. Like with the rally in oil, I would have thought the Canadian dollar would be now under 130 US, and it's come back a couple of cents. But really, considering how far the oil's come back up, the Canadian dollar has not bounced back nearly as much.
All right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, let's take a
we
look.
We need to get our Forex traders out here again.
Yeah, you're right. 74 cents, trying to get over 75. But it hasn't since falling from grace here.
No.
Yeah, it was 80 cents. But that kind of looks like it really formed up. Gave you a lot of chances to buy it at 74 cents, now moving above 75.
Trying to come back a bit with oil, but it's an oil currency. I'm just surprised it didn't come back even more. Jumping to the upgrades, downgrades, the earnings the ratings parade here. Pandora is catching an upgrade from Oppenheimer this morning. Trading up 3.5% in the pre-market. There was rumors kicking around a couple days ago that they might get tagged up. I believe it was Siri. Nothing's materialized there again yet. But Oppenheimer upgrading the stock here this morning to an overweight. It's trading up 3.5% in the pre-market.
Yeah, traded up to over a whole number, 14.12. We're back now under 14. That takes out yesterday's high. Kind of interesting daily chart here when you get into the 14 handle, because you had a step down seller all the way from 15 down to 13. Did that in like 7-8 sessions. Keep an eye right at 14, and just above 14, you had a few highs here. The first one to come into play, 14.09. That was your January 2016 high, and that coincides with the pre-market high. But it's possibly in play, so be careful on the short side.
Nike downgraded at Cowan and Company. Nike got a nice lift yesterday. It's given a lot of it back here today. Trade down at 51.25. We know the major support's down there at 50 bucks. It's just been multiple buyers the last few sessions. So if you were to really pull back on this as you get to the mid-50s, I think you're going to find people bringing in shorts or either just buying it long. So I like Nike down at 50, at least for a short-term bounce. But 51.25, it's down here a bit this morning, not down enough for me to get excited.
Yeah, 15-minute chart there reflecting a buyer at 51.20. So we'll see if he remains there during the regular session. Dennis, did you happen to catch Under Armour yesterday? Because for the news that came out, I saw an opening print that really wasn't that high and a little pullback. Were you able to get that on a fair value play?
No, I didn't, but it opened near the low. So if you were buying it on that news at 30.10, congratulations, because it ran right up to 30.80 in the first 10 minutes. So it was quick money for it. It did pull back a little bit towards the end of the day. It's popping here again this morning. Not sure if there's commentary here. Maybe sometimes when Callan comments or something else too, I can just go check the news real quick. But UA is trading up 1% in the pre-market.
I don't see anything.
Do you got a you got a 30.10 open on Under Armour yesterday?
I don't have the official open.
I
was just looking at the chart. 30.15.
I got 30.20 with a 15 low, so that you
bought. That's a funny thing. Like, obviously, you know, it opens on multiple exchanges there, so it opens at different prices, actually. In the simple world we used to trade in, Joel, when you only had one open, but now when you got 13 different public exchanges, it can open at different prices on different exchanges.
I know. That's so aggravating. Remember, you used to put your orders in there and just boom at 9:30 and to a few seconds.
Get it or you don't.
You're in. You're either in or you're out.
Yeah.
You don't know.
And now it's like, oh, well, you didn't bid on the right exchange.
Yeah. That's aggravating.
Annoying is what it is. We got oil here. Just oil is starting to go down here in the pre-market, so we just should mention that. It's been trading up the entire session, and as of right now, I'm starting to see oil actually roll over here in the pre-market. Just wanted to get your thoughts here as oil starts to roll over. Joel, give us some technical thoughts.
Well, first of all, boy, if you ever watch this thing after the cash close, you can really get an indication. And the cash close in this thing was way up at 50.79. And by the end of the let's see if we can do this here. This was yesterday. Go a little bit longer term here, maybe 30 minute. Boy, someone just came in. This was after the cash close yesterday. Someone just came in and pounded at it. 70 cents move is very, very unique here, and at after the 230 move, 50-18, we haven't got there yet. I don't see much in the 50 handle. 50-86 was Friday's intraday low. We've taken that out, but doesn't seem to be bothering the S&Ps. But considering the run that this had, the run up before OPEC, just a little bit of a retracement here. But careful on the long side, not seeing much down to 50-18.
I got
Deutsche Bank keeps. Okay, what are you going to say?
I was going to change subjects. So
I was going to too. So.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that Brian Sozzi just tweeted that a Chipotle exec on a conference call right now said we are nervous about our guidance.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's not a good thing to say on a conference call.
Why would you do that? Oh, boy.
Somebody should get fired for that. Anyways, out 6 points here now, so CMG is getting hit here in the pre-market. Multiple lows are right here around 395. You had a buyer. That buyer looks like a great step away here today, though. Now you start thinking about that big 385 level again.
Yeah, it's
but that's bad news. I mean, okay, if they're saying that on the call, like it's still getting hit here right now. You got to let it digest a little bit here. I wouldn't be surprised 385 gets tested in the next few minutes here.
Yeah, looking at the daily charts, once you take out this 388.13 level, which you just did, you got a big air pocket in a 72.40. That was your November 10th low.
Yeah, CMG, concerned about the guidance. If they're just not, they haven't come back there. The brand is still tarnished there. We've been talking about this.
How long have we been talking about this?
$600. We should have been short it the whole time. We'd be up like 33% here on our short. So me and you talked about it too much, bearish. We should have just been short the whole time, and we've been laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
But I'm not jumping in here on Chipotle at that multiple when the brand is still tarnished. So people are still concerned, even though it's been like a year since we've had a case here now of E. coli. That's damaging to the brand. It's going to take a long time for those customers to trust it again. And I think, every time they report a quarter that's disappointing, it just, hurts it a little bit more.
Yeah, and you got another, another signal when Ackman went long too, right? That was like, that's the last time I got.
Quit picking on poor Ackman.
From the same call, Chipotle management says its sales haven't recovered as much as they previously predicted. So,
not good news. Not good news here for Chipotle. Trading down $7 in the pre-market. Let's see it digest here. No pun intended. We'll see how it digests this news here. And I want to see what it does at 385 because that was the big bounce level before.
All right. We got a few minutes here before we bring in Nick Shaheen.
I was going to go to Deutsche Bank. Stock Hunter is saying, yes, please tell me about Deutsche Bank. So I'm trying to figure out what is driving Deutsche Bank because this thing has just been a monster. It had a 70-cent rally yesterday. It was tacking on another 70 cents here this morning. It's trading up 4% here in the pre-market. There's a lot of headlines over there from Europe here today. I can look at like 20 different headlines. So there's a lot of stuff being talked about over there. I'm not sure what's important. I know Fitch had comments that the German banks are stable. That's probably good news. You had Hammonds commenting about Deutsche Bank. You had a lot of comments here from Deutsche Bank this morning, which is probably driving it higher, but this is pretty incredible. Remember that Deutsche Bank is trading in Europe right now, so it's very active over in Europe. That's why you see it already trade 247,000 shares here this morning as well, because it is open over in Europe, and it's just they're coming here, and they're buying all the banks, not only Deutsche Bank. We talked about Credit Suisse trading up. We talked about Banco Santander and RBS, and RBS is trading up 3.5% here this morning. We talked about Barclays is trading up 3%. So they're buying the European banks across the board, but Deutsche Bank is leading the way.
Yeah, look at that. Pre-market high in Deutsche Bank, 1744. Boy, we haven't been up in this area for quite some time. Just keep an eye, 1786. That was your June high. Above that, you'll things open up into the 18 handle. 1853, that was your May high. But big move already in Deutsche Bank.
Just looking here, a few other stocks that are moving this morning.
Well, I have a couple of things that I want to bring up.
What do you got?
Sure.
I got a couple. So the UBS media conference is going on. Day one was yesterday. A couple headlines to come out of that. We have Netflix saying that they're going next year. Their original programming lineup will grow to at least or up to 1,000 hours of original programming, which is double what they had this year, and they said that 1,000 hours is a conservative measure. So a lot more original programming to expect from Netflix next year. That's expensive, but Joel, you were saying on the pre-market show that they wouldn't do it if they
there's
didn't
there's a pre-pre-pre-market show?
Yeah, it's just me and
Joel. I don't get invited on the pre-pre-pre-market show.
Yeah,
just, I only get invited on the pre-pre-market show.
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
no, I'm not.
It's just Joel and I. And,
guys.
He said they wouldn't.
You get all the good stuff, don't you, in the pre-pre-pre-market show?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, we got to call Dennis. He's probably sick again.
Yeah, I'm sick every day.
Yeah, no, you're saying they wouldn't do it if they didn't think it was, you know, economically viable. So that's one headline that came out of that. New York Times stock is up over 20% in the last month. The New York Times saying that they expect 10 million digital subscribers by when, I don't remember by when. Right now they have, for context, they have about 1.6 million. They're saying they can see a path to 10 million digital subscribers is what the Times is saying. I mean, they're up 200,000 since October. You know, thank you, Trump, for that. What else do we have? We had CBS looking. They're in talks with YouTube for a live pay TV package. That's from Les Moonves. Not a lot of details there. And CBS All Access, which is their, like, live streaming platform, which has over a million subscriptions now, subscribers now. Les Moonves says he sees that getting to 4 million by 2020. So, some headlines there at the UBS conference.
Well, let's go to Netflix here. Did have some problems the last two sessions in Netflix at 121, just under two highs there. Trading not quite at that level yet, 119.98. So we'll see what happens in 121. New York Times, I just got a notice from them that, I mean, we just get the Sunday New York Times, and they said it's going up to $10. $10 a week.
But we don't have inflation, Joel. So that's, is that possible?
I don't know.
I thought prices, they keep telling us there's no inflation.
I think I could just go to the books. Well, there's no bookstores left anymore, but I can.
You read online. Can't you read online for free?
I hate reading online. I hate reading.
You're one of those old school guys that have to have the physical paper in your hands, and you go to the bathroom and you get a physical paper.
Exactly. Exactly. Get my sports and business out of the New York Times. But that got a pop to 13.45. They're getting a little cocky here, you know, raising their prices, expecting more distribution, had a nice run since the election. Let's just keep an eye on yesterday's high, 13.45. After that, things look like they open up to just above 14. I see multiple highs, 14.20 area. This was back in late 2015, about a year ago.
Just to mention, Netflix was upgraded here at Evercore this morning. So just popping back to Netflix, just to let you know, they were upgraded to hold at Evercore. Just want a quick look at imbalances before we grab Nick Shaheen here because it's 8:33 already. Bank of America, 213,000 to buy. That $22 is going to be big, though. It's trading there right here, right now in the pre-market. So BAC, big number there for that. Citigroup, 20,000 to buy. Morgan Stanley, 31,000 to buy. Johnson & Johnson, 38,000 to sell. That's going the opposite way here. Not seeing a lot. Other ones are pretty small here so far. Visa, 36,000 to buy. That stands out a little bit, but not much here, Joel, from the imbalances. They're pretty small here yet.
All right, let's take our first and only break of the day, and let's bring in Nick Shaheen. He is the creator of, or the author of, Create Income with Option Spreads. We'll see what's on his radar today. We'll be right back with Nick.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcana, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel. And we have our Tuesday guest on. That's Nick Shaheen. He is the author of Create Income with Option Spread. Nick, how you doing on this Tuesday morning?
Doing great. Looking forward for the call all week. Looking at the headlines, like, ooh, we could talk about this. Oh, we can talk about this. And then here we are.
You look forward to it all week, Nick? Really? I mean.
Of course. Of course.
You got to have some other things. I mean, you got teenage son. Doesn't he keep you hopping?
Yeah, he keeps me hopping. He has me, actually today, has me going buying another motorcycle. So I'll be doing this afternoon.
Nice guy there. All right, let's talk overall market here. Just the Italian referendum, that was supposed to be bad for the market. Well, that just the opposite theory worked again. Within scratching distance of all-time highs here, are the fundamentals lining up with this rally?
Well, the fundamentals in theory are if whatever we were promised from the campaign will come to fruition. The Italian thing, I don't think it's still done yet. I still read headlines about their bank, world's oldest bank, Paci, however you pronounce it. They need a bailout. And they were hoping they would raise the money privately, but I think they haven't had many takers. And so we're probably going to get a headline of a bailout soon, and that probably would be positive for the markets because every headline is a buy potential apparently. So that's what's going on. So meanwhile, in the short term, I try to buy some calls overnight, see if I want to scalp them in the morning or ride them a little higher. As far as setting trades overall in this environment is you got to pick good names. And when they get hammered, you go along. Like recently, Apple was a decent buy via a credit put spread, say, out a month or two. That was an easy setup there. Baidu, I think, it was the same way when it got hammered, if you believed in the company. Something like Twitter. Somebody asked me, well, how do I go along Twitter? I'm saying the usual answer. If you really believe in the company now, you want to buy it now, why not sell puts in it a lot lower than now and just collect the premium?
Talk about Twitter here for a second. Ooh. This $18 level has just been like the rock of Gibraltar. I know it's taken that one down to like 1787, 1783, but I'm just rounding and just looking at the last 4 months and calling it 18 bucks. And it seems like there is just a buyer there. Every time it gets under 18, they come and scooping it up. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Twitter timing of a headline is basically what everybody's playing, I think. You guys mentioned that you're waiting for a takeout. I don't think it's the fundamental of Twitter itself, because we've proven over and over that the management can't do it. They've tried this, they've tried that. They couldn't even get the sale done. So the only thing you can hope for is a massive headline of sorts, either a serious symbiotic relationship with somebody big or somebody big scooping it up. So if that's what you're hunting, I would do it by selling puts or put spreads along the way. So if I'm bullish Twitter at 18 or 17, but I'm afraid to buy calls or buy the stock because it's been a wall, like you said, or every time it peaks above it, it gets hammered. So why not sell risk below it if you're considering buying it now? So the January puts at 15 pay almost 18 cents. At 16, they pay 34 cents. If you want to go longer, if you want to go to March and really wait, the 14 is 40 cents. So if I sell 10, that's $400. I just sit and wait. Worst case scenario is Twitter falls below that and I'm forced to buy it at 14. So selling puts is not a really good idea unless you're willing and able to buy that stock at that level. But it's a great way to get long something. So to make it really long, you'd sell the puts and buy the calls and wait for the headline. Then you're long for free.
Let's jump over to Amazon here. They are in the news this morning. Amazon is trading up about $3 on the pre-market there. They're getting into the grocery store market here. I want to get your thoughts here of Amazon. Would you go to an Amazon grocery store?
I would. I mean, if it's cheap enough, I vote with my pocket. If it's cheap enough, I'll go shop there. If it's not, that's why I never go to Whole Foods, because it's not cheap and the extra price is not justified. So if Amazon can offer me a value and it's convenient, heck, I would. I shop online with them. I think they're eating everybody's lunch and everybody's discounting them. And that's like, it's not a competition, including Netflix. You guys are talking about Netflix. I've said before that Netflix P&L will be seriously impacted by Amazon sooner or later. And every time they're asked about an Amazon as a competitor, they kind of discount it and they go back to their original content. And your headline was about original content for Netflix going forward. And that's probably in reaction to Amazon, because they need to offer something that Amazon does not. I recently saw a headline of Amazon offering like Cinemax and somebody else, Showtime, maybe, I'm not sure. Like, wow, that's pretty serious stuff. if I were Netflix, I'd worry a little bit. But now they're really digging in their heels on the Netflix side against Amazon. But yeah, the stores, I would shop. I mean, if it's a value, if it's a premium to pay to buy stuff there and I can find it cheaper somewhere else, I will not be shopping at Amazon.
Nick, going back to the Netflix, I know you put a put spread on, I think, after earnings, and it ran a little bit after that. I see you got a little dip. Are you still nursing that thing, or did you let the premium get sucked out of it and you took it off the books?
What I did is I doubled down when it really ran, and I got out for a little red as it fell. So I said, you know what, it could fall to my puts, but now I'm almost even. I'm a little red. I'm not going to be hard-headed, and I bailed on it for a little loss there.
And when are you stepping in to buy the CMG?
CMG, the best way we traded it is I posted a chart and I kind of put the levels on the chart. There were some lines and circles there. The two horizontal dash lines that are out in time were kind of an iron condor that worked beautifully. And then we did another one at a tighter level that also worked beautifully. So instead of worrying about its immediate ranges, I'm looking at selling risk in the intermediate ranges. I haven't deployed anything here soon. I want to figure out that there is a period of time where there's no potential headline of pre-announcement or any slip-ups like this you guys mentioned today. You broke the news on it. And I was like, oh, I wish they wouldn't say stuff like that unless they're forced to in a call of sorts. So I will probably, once the headlines die down, I will try to find a range that against which we can sell some risk, maybe some credit put spread if it gets hammered hard, which is a bullish play. So if it goes down to 380, you guys mentioned the 380 as important, or 370, then maybe I'll build myself an 8-10% buffer, go out in time without going into another earnings period, and see if I can find a spread to sell there. Otherwise, I'll just wait for another entry point.
These banks are a monster again here today. They just seem to go up every single day. The European banks are all trading up 2, 3, 4% here this morning. You're looking here, you see oil trading down. You know, you see some weakness in stocks like Chipotle, some of your other major stocks trading down here in the red. And then you come in the financials or your strongest sector. Once again, it's like Groundhog Day here for the last 3 weeks. Every other morning I come in, or even every morning it seems like I come in, the financials are leading the way. It appears to be that way again here this morning in the pre-market. Your U.S. financials are all trading significantly higher on the backs of the strong European financials here. What is the top here of these things? They just keep going.
Well, before you say a top this or a top that, but first of all, I'm not the right guy to ask about banks anymore, because I lost on a debit put spread that I put on thinking, oh, okay, this is a top, and obviously it wasn't. So my debit put spread is almost zero now. So, but I just posted the Bank of America really long term, and this is, these are levels that they've been waiting for decades. So, I don't know exactly how the banks work as far as what exactly do they need and the rates. I know they need a spread of sorts, but I'm not a bank expert. So if somebody would do a show on that, I think they'll be giving us all a good perspective as to what exactly banks need and rates in order to survive or thrive. So far, they've been surviving. But this tells me, okay, now the change in rates right now, the structure in rates is really beneficial for the banks because ? I know they need a spread of sorts that they can, then borrow and then lend out at that spread. So we need somebody to cover it in detail in order to really judge it fundamentally. Otherwise, it's one of those too hot, too short, and too high to chase, or just plug your nose and buy the calls out in time and believe what the rhetoric is going on there.
I mean, you look at the daily chart, and I did this, last week. You know, you look at the daily chart, and you're like, oh, my Lord, look at that incredible run. This thing has got to come in 15 to 22. But then if you put it in a historical perspective here, you know, you just cleared that major $20 level. That was a high back in 2010. You haven't had much of a retracement here. And good old Nations Bank here, better known as Bank of America, I mean – It's hard to see chewing through another whole number today.
Well, yesterday I thought I had a revelation of sorts. I mean, they were up without the rates being up, because bonds made a comeback in the middle of the morning or sometime yesterday, and rates were down, yet banks were up. So it was some sort of a relief pop off of the no disaster in Italy type of a thing that could have spilled over into our banks. But then by the end of the day, I think they went to flat rates and bonds kind of. So that wasn't a telling moment. But during the day, it was like, okay, banks are running on something other than rates. Banks are running on something other than interest rates being high. But if you put a combination of interest rates, like throw in the TNX versus, say, Bank of America or the XLF, and you'll see that they've been going because of it, because everybody believes, whether correctly or not, that's why I said somebody needs to cover the details of it, that higher rates equal better P&Ls for banks. I'm not sure it's that simple. It can't be this simple. So, but it's probably the starting point. But somebody needs to tell us exactly how it unfolds so we can evaluate, okay, the starting point was there, but where's the diminishing returns on the higher rates environment thing?
Jumping over here, just play defense a little bit. This market hasn't been working, but gold. What are your thoughts here? As gold has obviously sold off since Trump has got in, it's rallying a little bit here this morning. Give us your technical breakdown of gold.
Well, gold has been threatening to break down for a while. So everybody, yesterday somebody asked me, is it time to buy gold? I'm saying it's not clear to me that it is because of, first of all, the dollar, we don't know where it's going. It's denominated in dollars. So they kind of, it's really dependent on it. It's not a commodity, but it trades, it's affected by the dollar almost exactly like commodity. So it's not obvious to me that I need to catch this falling knife right here, right now, because the longer term picture of gold is this is a pivot point. So usually it'll give me some reason to go long via credit put spread, like I did, I think, end of last year, where everybody said, oh, it's going to break par on the GLD, for example. And I was like, no, it's not. So let's sell the credit put spreads at under par. And they were easy money last year. So I will look to repeat that, but it's not clear to do it. It's not yet clear to do it now. So if I was forced to enter gold right here via for the GLD, I'll try to find something around 105 if there is premium there. If I can get 10, 15% yield there, that's great. I would not short it via credit call spreads, which is a bearish play after a fall this far, because you'd be selling it at a discount. I'm patient. I'm not rushing into it. There's too much going on. But if somebody wants to nibble, I don't blame them for it. But I would definitely hide below 108 on GLD.
Nick, let's move in here just to a couple more issues that have been a little bit quiet as late of the FANG here. Let's look at a quick look at the technicals on Facebook.
Okay. By the way, Apple is, if it can't rally on Cook's comments this morning, that's not good. Okay, Facebook had a scary moment a couple of days ago. It needed a bounce, and let me see if I can throw a chart in here. So it had a whoosh down, and it was a little scary, and I said, okay, I'm doing a credit put spread really quickly here, and I did, and I scalped it out on the bounce. So it was, I believe in the company longer term, so I don't mind taking risk lower than current price because there was nothing that different for me. So the sell-off was unwarranted. However, this area, there's a band of 113 to 115 was important for it to hold. Otherwise, it could have been bearish. Is it head and shoulder-ish or inverse cup and handle-ish? In any case, it's bearish pattern, price pattern. They rally big dome, it's like an igloo, and then they rally a smaller dome, and then they come back to the neckline and they lose the neckline. So they could have seen 110-ish, 110, 111. It wasn't a forecast, but it was something I needed to be aware of if I were long Facebook. And then I either exit or I say, okay, I can withstand it down to 111 because down it'll find buyers. So that's why I threw a credit put spread below. I can't remember exactly the strikes or time, but it was, I scalped it at 50% of maximum gain out of it.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, later.
All right, S&P futures creeping up here. We took out yesterday's high by a tick, 0.875, so we'll keep an eye on that. 0.9 even is the current high. All-time high is 21.1375. We did that last week. In order to post a new all-time closing high, you need to close above 22.11 in a quarter. Dennis, anything changing in imbalance land?
Just the financials are showing ridiculous strength here. Those buy imbalances are growing, and if you're looking at the stocks themselves, they're just strong, and they just keep going. Eventually, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but there is going to be a big down day in these things one day, because when you go from 16 to 22 and on Bank America, and you've only corrected like 50, 60 cents on any given correction there, it's due to pull back. I don't know if we have Fari on there. It's probably way out there in Sigma land here now, but it's hard to fight the trend. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going, and I've tried to fight it. I was trying to short it here even this morning at 22 bucks. It's already above 22. It's trading 22.04. Trying to go higher, and I mean, these European banks, the same story. Deutsche Bank, we started the shows around 1710. It's now 1740, continues to go higher. It's frustrating to try to short these things, and I think a lot of people are just hands-off on them now. Here's Goldman Sachs taking out the big 230 level right now. 230, you look in the book, you can see 40,000 shares of 230, but I mean, these stocks are just strong, and they just seem to chew through any size that's there because people want to own the banks. They didn't want to own them forever. But since Trump has got in, that's all they want.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs has only traded 11,000 shares here, up $1.50 in the pre-market. So need a few more buyers to take out.
To take out that 40.
Yeah. Let's do the flip side of the banks here and, take a look at the XLU trading near the lows of the move. I know you also like to look at the TLT. We're finally going to get this interest rate hike out of the way next week. Is it time to, start looking at some of these yielders, the TLT?
I think it is long term because I don't think interest rates are going to start. And everybody hates it. You bring on an analyst on CNBC right now, and they are going to tell you that they hate financials and they hate utilities. They hate, the bonds. They hate anything defensive right now. And that's the way it works. They're all momentum. Everybody trades momentum here now, and it goes for a while. But when it turns, it turns. And I've been always a contrarian investor. I look at stuff, like Southern, and some of these utilities that are now getting to a lot more attractive yields. I mean, back in the summer, when everybody loved them, was when I wanted to get out because I don't like it when everybody loves something. Southern getting up to $54, it was overdone. I would love Southern to get into the low 40s. Back at 40, 42, SO had fantastic support. That's still $4 away from here. I'm not sure if it's got the gas to get down there, but that's when I originally bought it because it ran over a 5% yield down there, and I think the yield is safe, and you're getting 5% in this environment. It's still pretty good. I know we're going to run into a little bit of a rising rate environment here, but I don't think interest rates are going up 4 times next year. I don't think interest rates, I think they're going up in December, and I think you might see it go up maybe early in the year, but as soon as you get some type of crisis, as soon as we get something, the Fed will back off, or the Fed will come in and jump to the market's rescue once again. So long-term, interest rates are low, I believe, for the foreseeable future, low relative to where we've been. I don't think we're ever going back 5, 6, 7, 8% because we can't. It's just the world is built on debt. We've said that multiple times. So that being said, and you get 5% on your money, from a pretty defensive stock, I still like it there. So if Southern could get down that 5% dividend yield again, I'd probably pick up the stock that I sold up at 53.
All right, let's take a look at Symantec here out of the chat. Frankie23 wants to take a look at it. Pretty volatile issue here. Let's see what we got, if we have anything going on in the pre-market. Not much. This is kind of a tough chart to interpret. It looks like you've got pretty good support between 2320 and 2360. So that's what I'm looking at on the downside. On the upside, boy, this thing chops around. Looks like you really got a bunch of monthly highs in here at the 2550 level. So if you're looking for another leg up, actually the last 3 months, not including December, it failed up at the 2550 level. Dennis, any
huge resistance up there. I agree. 25 to 2550 SYMC remains major resistance there. Looking here, Teva DC wants her thoughts on TEVA. I mean, the pharmaceuticals got some love right after Trump got in, and they have just kind of been hated here again since. I mean, I don't know what turns the sector around, But the majority of your pharma rally has been given back. So pharma, you know, immediate pop on Trump. It was ridiculous. Some of those pops, you know, even looking at Celgene rallying 30 points after Trump got in that morning. That was the top, and it's starting to give it back too. But stocks like Gilead, Teva, you know, it's more generics. That has been out of favor here for a while. They had some bad news there after the bell. I'm not sure, Spencer, do you have the report there that Teva issued there after the bell? Because TEVA I saw tanking here after hours.
I do not. I'm looking at a Trump tweet about Boeing right now, so I was literally distracted. Okay,
there was something
from Teva yesterday after the bell. They had a guidance. So they came out with some guidance yesterday. Is what happened. They reaffirmed.
Okay.
They reaffirmed their fiscal year 16 outlook, and they see Q4 sales of $6.2 to $6.5 billion. The estimate was 6.28. So the higher end there, the adjusted EPS is $1.34 to $1.44, and $1.37 was the estimate. So they reaffirmed the guidance is what basically happened.
And they didn't like it. They didn't like that.
They've got some exec retiring too, so they don't like that either.
We spiked down in the pre-market to 35 even. That takes out the low of the move. The area you want to keep an eye on now is the old support will now act as new resistance. Three lows in a row at the 36.50 area. A buck below that, Teva now back at levels you have not seen since late 2013. Actually, you took that low out. That was at the 36.26 area. Maybe go back a little bit farther. I see three monthly bottoms. Oh, maybe 35. 35.16 was your low back in September and October of 2011.
I want to mention this Boeing tweet real quick from Trump. Boeing, this is a tweet. Boeing is building a brand new 747 Air Force One for future presidents. Costs are out of control. More than $4 billion. Cancel order. And Boeing is trading down this morning.
What? What's he say? Cancel order?
He's saying to cancel the order for the new Air Force One that Boeing is supposedly building because the costs are out of control. They're huge.
He's got to stop tweeting. When he actually becomes president, they got to shut his Twitter account down, don't they? Because this is ridiculous.
I don't know, but the stock is trading down.
The stuff that he says.
But doesn't he have someone like right next to him, like saying?
Shouldn't
you know,
they
Donald
like stop him pressing like the send button, like or a tweet button, like? Some of this stuff, you know, he stays out of the, you know, the spotlight here. It's okay, but every time he seems to come in, some ridiculous stuff. So anyway, do you think Boeing is trading down this tweet?
Yeah.
It's down a buck and a half.
I don't.
It looks like it is.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't see any other catalyst. I'm not saying that's why, but I'm not saying it's not why.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
I'm looking at the tweet now, too. It's ridiculous. Boeing building a brand new 747 Air Force One for future presidents. Costs are out of control. More than $4 billion. Cancel the order. What the hell? The stuff he says, man. It cracks me up.
Yeah, he's on the phone with the Boeing CEO, and he's saying, you're fired. That's what he's doing.
Fired. And you're building all your planes in the U.S. This guy, man, it's gonna be interesting. I'm gonna say that, you know, these next 4 years, there's gonna be a lot of interesting things to talk about with Trump. We'll leave it at that.
149.11, if you're looking to pick a bottom here, that was your November 29th low. After that, 148.32, but little spike pre-market low here in Boeing. We just did that on that recent tweet. That was at 149.75, but getting a little bit of a bounce. All right, 858. Spencer, you want to wrap up the show and preview Wednesday's show?
I'm trying to recover from those are some funny comments, Dennis. I'm still trying to recover from that. Okay, tomorrow we're going to have, let's try to have a politics free day. Tom Mulaki is joining us tomorrow. He's, of course, our Relativity Capital advisor. He joins us every Wednesday at 8:35. If you missed any part of our show today, including our chat with Nick, you can catch the whole thing on Benzinga's YouTube channel after the show, or also on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Just search for Premarket or Benzinga on any of those platforms. Also, don't forget, you can get a free 2-week trial of Benzinga Pro Plus a discount on a subscription to Benzinger Pro if you mention the fact that you listen to the show. To do that, just call us up at 313-723-2000, or you can go to pro.benzinga.com. Benzinga Pro, it's Benzinga's real-time news platform. That's great for anybody who wants to follow the markets on a minute-by-minute basis and stay up to date with what is happening out there. Please always remember that all the information, material, and content from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. Whew, okay, that's it for us today. I hope everybody has had a good morning so far and a good rest of your day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.